Welcome to The Lorraine Murphy Show. I'm an entrepreneur on my second business, a mentor, an author, wife to a fellow entrepreneur, and mother to a magical little girl. On my podcast, I explore topics that fascinate me that will help you unlock ideas to rise even higher in your life. Myself and my special guests will be talking entrepreneurship and how to build better businesses, organization and figuring out how to get more shit done quicker and smarter, staying in touch with our soul, and how to blend business babies with real babies. Let's jump in to this week's episode. Welcome to this week's episode of The Lorraine Murphy Show. So this is a surprise episode because I had planned on last week being the finale of the GSD season, the Get Shit Done season. However, I moved the closing date for my Get Remarkably Organized program slightly later. So I get to bring you a whole extra episode this week. And I'm bringing back the person who is officially my most popular podcast guest to date, my husband, Wade. We had a very honest and fun conversation this week, talking all things organization. I absolutely love how open and insightful he is in these interviews. Before I bring on Wade and my chat, I wanted to, this is the very, very, very last call for the Get Remarkably Organized program. So doors are closing this Sunday night, the 13th of September for the program. I have had dozens and dozens and dozens of people sign up already, and I cannot wait to get this started. So the first module goes out to everyone next Monday, the 14th of September. So if you are keen to join me, jump over to my website, lorrainemurphy.com.au. You'll find all about the 8-week program on there. And if you want to understand a little bit more about my organizational philosophy, this week's episode will absolutely help you on that. So myself and Wade did talk mostly about organization in our conversation. However, we also talked more broadly too, based on a lot of requests from my community. In our chat, we talk about what it's really like to live with me and my organizational mission, how our approaches to organization are similar and also very different, how we've managed with him working from home a lot more this year, the area of our relationship that we're most organized in right now, but also the area that needs some work right now, what his business actually does, how the pandemic has affected his business and what he and his team are doing to keep it going, whether he feels I overshare with my community. This sparked an interesting conversation between us, and also if he's planning on writing a book. We really enjoyed having this chat together and I hope you enjoy it too. So let's bring it on. Okay, so welcome back to the show, my husband. I think this is your fourth time on the show. And our episode, AJ just sent me my monthly dashboard today where she does like the stats from the business for the whole month. And our podcast episodes, remember we did 2 episodes about how we organize our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one is still my most popular podcast. And now I'm on my, I think this will be like my 70th episode.
And it's number
pretty
one.
Crazy. Still number one.
What do you think that is?
I don't know. I suppose you're probably quite good on the show. Maybe. Maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know. Ask the audience. Audience, tell me why. Yeah. So we're sitting here on Monday evening before this episode airs. I'm in my pajamas, my UGG boots. We're both wearing our blue blocking glasses. Got the peppermint oil here. I've got my questions ready to go. And we've just devoured Lexi's chocolate bear. She gets these little carob bears. We just ate our Charles chocolate bear because we felt like a little sweet treat for this episode. So I'm talking to you tonight about organization.
Yes.
So I literally just told him the questions 4 minutes before we started recording. So are you happy to jump straight in?
Yes.
How are you feeling about being on the show again?
I'm super excited to be here.
Why?
Because I always love being a guest on your show.
Why?
I think it's, you know, don't get to see you that often, so
true.
You get to check in, say hello, see how things are, catch up.
Yeah. Is my show the only show you've been on?
No, I've been on other shows.
No, you haven't.
Yeah, I was on one like 2 days ago.
Who? You didn't tell me that.
No, because I do stuff outside you.
Wow.
I don't know. Pretty great.
Okay, interesting. You're telling me on a podcast. Okay, so we're talking about organization. So there was actually a lot of questions from my community for you about lots of different topics. So If we have time, let's aim to talk about organization for 40 minutes or so. And then if we have time, then I can do questions with the other questions.
The less cool stuff.
The less cool stuff. No, I think actually they're very good questions. Okay. So first of all, what does being organized mean to you? Waiting.
As you said, 4 minutes before the show. So I think that it's to do with control. Mm. And control is like a, it seems to me it's just a fundamental human need. And I know that it's, that's not, you know, I have no research to back that up, but I feel that when you're in control, you need a certain level of control in your life to feel that you are, you know, moving forward, making things happen. And so as a big picture guy, as you know, I'm a very big picture, I feel like being and also ENTJ for all you Myers-Briggs fans out there.
What so, am I? I'm INTJ, am I? Sorry, I'm interrupting you. Keep going.
I can't remember, to be honest.
I can't remember either.
So, but I've been ENTJ. I was tested like, I've been tested like five times.
Yeah, you sound like you've been tested for COVID.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
I've been tested five times.
I've been tested five times. It started when I was like 14, I think, the first time. And every time
it stayed the same the whole way through.
Yeah, every time the same. So, and I think that, you know, for me, as being part of an ENTJ, it's just about having bigger picture goals, being on track with those goals and, you know, I mean, measuring and feeling like that. And when I don't, because I don't always have that sorted, you can just feel a completely different degree of, you know, I suppose, satisfaction with my life.
Mm-hmm. And fulfillment, I think, for you. Yeah. 100%. And just that, and also I think, I mean, it's interesting you touch on Myers-Briggs because you're also in behavior, in DISC behavior profiling, you're a D.
Yeah.
So I think it also lends itself very much to that. Like if you feel like you're not in control, like you, as your D, you just spin out. Like it's just,
yeah.
Ds aren't very good at flowing.
Yeah. It's, and that's the thing. It's it, like, I think Ds are good at dealing with external pressure. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? It's fine if the world's going in chaos.
But you're actually very good when that happens.
Yeah, like I'm fine with that. It's more just the internal.
Yeah.
And just having my stuff sorted. And as I said, I don't always have it sorted. And so I can really feel the difference when I do and when I don't. And it's unrealistic to think that you'd always have it sorted all the time.
I'm glad you said that as well, because I think it's so important that everyone remembers that not everyone has their shit sewn up 100% of the time. And I think that's probably going to come out in this conversation as well, like the questions that... Well, I'm going to ask you questions, but also discuss as well. So being organized to you means control.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And then that internal feeling that satisfies that.
Yeah. What is that internal feeling? If you were to label it.
It's such a calming feeling. It's calming. It's
interesting.
Positive. It's like I just feel I can fully relax when I'm in control.
Yeah, I can see that in you as well. When you don't have your shit together.
Yeah.
It's just like you just can't relax.
Yeah.
Whereas when you do, it's like, whoa, you actually let yourself have that downtime, which I think is actually one of the measures of how organized you are. Like not you, but anyone.
Mm.
If you feel like you can actually have that downtime and not have that buzzkill of like, shit, I should be doing all this other stuff. Like when I teach, like when I'm training, I do, you know, when I do corporate trainings and I talk about how do you know if you're organized? One of those things is that you can have downtime and actually enjoy that downtime rather than feeling guilty while you're having it. So I love that you've said that. Which of us do you think is more organized?
Oh, great question. I think it depends on the category.
So, okay, you're jumping ahead to my questions, but this is good. Which area do you think you are more organized than me in? Does that make sense, that question?
Yeah. Which areas do I think that I'm more organized than you in? I think this is a hard question because it's very... And it's very contextual driven, in my opinion. So, for instance, in our businesses, I think that my areas are more organized in systems, but that's because the business is bigger.
Yeah.
From a people perspective.
But not cooler. Bigger, but not cooler, than my business.
Not cooler. So, yeah, it's the people side and the systems and all that. But that's only because it has to be, you know. And so,
well, also you're sending university students overseas to developing countries. Like if you didn't have your – I mean, if your systems were like my systems, people would be eaten by crocodiles.
Yes. Literally. Oh, God. There is a story backstory to that.
There is.
Crocodiles.
Yeah.
in Lorraine.
It's 4 hours that we'll never get back where we thought some uni students had been eaten by crocodiles.
Yeah.
On a Sunday afternoon.
So.
Anyway, okay. So you think, yeah, I think, yeah, you're right. Your business would be a lot more organized than mine. But then there's a lot of context to that.
Yeah. Which is,
kind of has to be.
Yeah, in different stages. And you do more, you do a lot more stuff that is, you know what I mean?
Cooler.
You do a lot more.
You're going to say cooler?
You would evolve and adapt a lot better.
And be cooler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so what I've always said to you is, and I completely concur, I feel that you are the leader and the person for the frontier. All right?
Yeah.
So it's the context of business where you thrive and where you do best is where you're doing something that's never been done before.
Yeah.
And so in that kind of, in that space, you are decisive. You're quick to move. You're quick to innovate. You're quick to make things happen. You pumped out 3 books in 5 seconds situation. You know what I mean? You have that ability to be very targeted on what's important and what's not.
Yeah, that's true. That's, yeah.
And it just mind boggles me how you are enabled to focus on that 4% that creates a 64% difference. You know, when 80-20 rule times 80-20 rule,
yeah.
You are so good at narrowing on that 4%. And I feel like that's where your real strength is in organization.
Yeah.
It's the priorities, like it's the getting stuff done in short time, quick time, and not doing a millimeter more than is required.
Nope. You make me sound so lazy. I'm just focused.
No, but it's the positive laziness. It's the same thing that applies to, you know, millennials or Gen Y. Like they're always said to be lazy. They're just fucking smart and they just do things quickly and they don't do things that aren't necessary.
Yeah. We're millennials. You know that, yeah?
Yeah, I know. I know.
We're elder millennials.
I know. No, we're at the start. I know.
Yeah. And I think, like, if you were to ask me that question back, I think where you're more organized than me is you're so disciplined. Like, you're so disciplined. You're so consistent. Like, you get up every morning at 10 to 5. Is that what time you get up at?
Quarter to five,
like every morning, even, and Tuesday night you do Army Reserve, so you don't get home till 11, 11:30 and think then you need some time to wind down because you've ridden your motorbike probably too fast home. Mm. So I think that's where I see you. I think that's your Army grit. Like, I have 0% Army grit in me, like, as you would acknowledge. So yeah, just that thing of like every single morning, no matter what time you get in at, you know, no matter whether you've had some drinks the night before, like you're up at that time, and like obviously not so much of the weekends, but yeah, I think that's your strength that I feel like you overtake me in that / trance all over me because I don't have that. Yeah. Which area do you think we're very organized in as a couple? I was interested to get your thoughts on this because I had an answer for this from my own question.
I think we're good at like the time management and managing different responsibilities over the week and where who needs to be and doing what, and also efficient in terms of if you need to do stuff with business, like, you know, I can handle all the other stuff and you vice versa. We're quite adaptable, I think, as a team in terms of being able to handle the other person's stuff, with obvious exceptions. I can never do the food to the standard you do.
True.
And stuff like that. So I think that in terms of working together to hit a purpose for our business, we're very organized in on that time management stuff. We're very good.
And I think we've been quite lucky. But I mean, even if I look at the last 4 weeks as an example, like you had, I know there was a question from my community about what you needed to do to save your business a few weeks ago. And you were just off the radar for that week. Like, you slept here, but I don't even think you were here mentally. You were just on another planet for that whole week. And then you went out and got yourself absolutely wasted to celebrate. And then you were off the planet for another 2 days, but for very different reasons. But I think, yeah. And then last week I had a really, really challenging week in my business with having to move back my retreat and tech issues around my Get Remarkably Organized program launch and all that kind of thing. So this week has kind of been a bonus week. And yeah, it's just been a lot more spacious. But I think you were able to step in. Like, Lexi Day was last Wednesday, for example, and you looked after for the first kind of 3 hours so I could just power through and get a lot done. So yeah, I'd agree with that. Another area I think we're very organized on, this is actually quite recent, is just holidays and like having nice things to look forward to, because I think historically we've been really, really shit at that. And we went to Port Macquarie for the weekend, just gone to visit your parents, and you and I went for a coffee date and just got out the calendars and planned, okay, we're going to go, this is for Christmas, we're going to drive to, is it far north? It's not far north Queensland. What do you say? It's near Bundaberg. What do you say?
South or east, or
Queensland. South east Queensland? No, so there used to be like news or something and stuff. Right, I'm asking you a question, you know the answer to.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's been really good to actually have that mapped out and also planning in our next time together. I think something that we've been really good on. Why are you laughing?
I'm just laughing at your glasses.
Oh.
Come on.
You look funnier than me then. They look cool though.
Hmm.
But you're used to seeing me in glasses. I'm not used to seeing you in glasses.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you for that. So yeah, I think just having that time in for us as well, I think has been really good. If we have time, we might talk about that a bit more. What area do you feel like we're not very organized in as a couple? I also have an answer for this, but I was curious to know what you'd say. And I was really keen to talk about this because I think it's very easy just to assume that it's the whole like Instagram highlights reel, isn't it? You just assume that everyone else has got it all squared away.
Yeah, I mean.
And that's not the case.
The thing that I feel that we're not organized enough in is friends and
family. Yeah, that's true.
And stuff like that.
Give me an example.
I'm terrible with friends and I feel like it comes back to me. Because I just live my life in two separate modes. So when it comes to business, I feel like I think very clearly through what I'm trying to do. And I know it always doesn't work because I'm out of control sometimes. But I through very clearly what I'm doing, it's planned ahead. There's a strategy. I can tell you exactly where we're going to be, et cetera, what we're doing, where the numbers are, et cetera. Boom, 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 boom. And then when I step out of that zone, I just don't like to – I want to have a complete opposite of that zone. So with my friends, I'm super in the moment. Just can lose myself in hours with them. I don't think about the time. But that means that I don't rock up to barbecues on time. I'm never, you know what I mean? I don't do the birthday gifts. I don't do the things. I don't just shit at that stuff.
Mm.
I don't call them enough. I don't answer their calls enough. And it's just kind of a bit of a mess.
Mm.
But when it's on and I love it.
Yeah. I think that's what I've been finding this year, especially given 2020 crazy town, has just been having that like planned time with friends. You know, we went away to the Blue Mountains, for example, when ISO ended with Josh and Julian. Just having that deep quality time with friends was just such a treat.
Mm.
So good. One area that I think we're not very organized in right now is our finances.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm almost afraid to say this because I know how much of a stress it is. Because obviously the finances are something that you manage in terms of the budgeting and the buckets of money and where the money moves and all that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we got really, really good on that this year. We've been really on it. You just did an amazing job at setting up all our accounts and how the money moves through. And then money has shifted a bit because you're obviously paying yourself less from your business.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, I just don't think we've ever actually gotten the new structure done properly. And I know for you and I, it's just such a negative charge I want to talk about this really openly because I think there's all these areas that I feel like I'm really on top of in my life, but our personal finances just right now over the last couple of months, it's almost like there was a bit of a lag and then it's all now, it's just like, it's disorganized. So, you know, you go and pay for something in the shop and there's not enough money in there. We call it the variable, the groceries account.
Mm.
So you've got to like stop, move some cash over from another one. It's just like, it's just such a... It's funny because in the program, in the Get Remarkably Organized program, I talk about the stones in your shoe, and like one of them for me right now is just having our money, the bucket set up properly. And it's probably like an hour's work just to get it like flowing again.
Mm.
So I know that's one. And I think it's also, you were talking about that whole idea for you that being organized represents control. Like when those things are set up and they're running well, it's like life is amazing because mm-hmm. you just never even fucking think about them. Like
yeah.
I don't think when our accounts are set up properly, like they were for a long time, I just don't even think about it.
Mm.
Because the money's there. And then we've got that, actually, we should probably talk about this. We may not have time in this episode, but if people want to know, we can talk about how the money is set up. But we've got our groceries account. Then we've got our babysitters and socializing account. Then we've got our shopping account. Mm-hmm. There's the savings account. There's the North American holiday account. Lol. So yeah, you know, when that's running, I just don't think about it. And our savings bank up each month. And it's just like, yeah, it's just the best feeling in the world. So it's almost that the two sides of the coin, isn't it? When it's going really well, it's going really, really well. And I don't know, what's the nursery room? Like when she was nice, she was super nice. And when she was, it's a nursery room. I can't remember what it's called. But yeah, when those things in our lives are going really well, look, we just don't have to think about them. And there's so much more mental space and calories to focus on everything else. But when they're not going well, it's like you get a negative charge every time you even think about them. So
yeah,
I know you and I are super keen just to do that couple of hours just to get it all working again, because I think that's the benefit. Is it's almost it just reminds us of why that organization stuff is so valuable, because when it's done, it's done. You don't have to think about it unless something shifts again, like the flow of the money changes coming in. So I'm sorry to raise that one, but I just wanted to be really honest with that one. How do you think our approach to organization is similar to each other? I don't think we've answered this yet.
I think that we're both very concerned with environment. I think environment's big for us both in different ways. So I know I'm just, I know this might be universal, so I'm not really sure, you're the expert, but it's like in terms of having your space sorted is something that is
huge
important to both of us. And it's like, I think it's quite amazing how organized you are from an environmental perspective in your household. You know,
give me an example of that. What do you mean?
Like everything's tidy, clean, it looks nice within reason.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking around the office trying to find mess now.
But generally it is, right?
Yeah, it is.
And you know what I mean?
And I think friends come over and go, well, your house is really tidy.
Yeah. And even like, you know, and then you take the piss out of me because I fold my laundry like,
like a Nazi. Military exercise. Yes.
Yeah. And just, you know what I mean? And then there's that side. So like I'm concerned with it as well. And like I like that. And the fact that we're both like that is, I think, quite unusual.
Well, except for your floor drope.
Yeah. But,
what I mean by the floor drope, for anyone who's listening, obviously you're listening, you're hearing this, it's that, yeah, Wade stepping out of his clothes. There's almost like, it's like a man has just melted through the floor and his clothes are just there on the floor. It's amazing. Like a little puddle of clothes.
Yeah. And what gets...
And everything else in the room is tidy.
Yeah. And these generally happen when I do come back at 11:30 at night, and then I sleep in Lexi's room so I don't disturb you, and then I get up at 4:45, then I go to the gym, and then I have to do this, and then all of a sudden, and you're like, there's been a floor drape there for approximately 3 hours. I'm like...
No, 3 days.
Sometimes it gets out of control.
When I'm a bit nicer, I'm like, oh, wait, wow, is this like some kind of an installation? Is this like a modern art? Like, what is this telling me? What is this? But yeah, I'm not always that lighthearted about it. Let's put it that way. So yeah, I think that's true. I think the environmental thing is very true, actually. And I know for you, I mean, I don't really care how messy the car is, or not messy, but dirty the car is. But I knew it really gets in on you when the car is not clean. And when we went away on our 2-night little mini break last week, we went to the Southern Highlands for 2 nights, and we had a massive chat on the second night we were there just about messiness. And it wasn't like that we feel like our house is really messy, but there was just little outstanding, annoying, niggling things. Like, for example, the windows, like if anyone follows me on Instagram, you'll know our living room. What is it? What'd you say? Living, dining, kitchen area. That whole room, it's like, is it 50% glass? If you think about it, like 2 walls are glass. Yeah.
At least 50%.
Yeah. And like the windows are disgustingly dirty. And then it, like as it's coming into spring and like there's more sun, you can just see it's just so gross. So yeah, we got back on the Saturday morning and you spent, yeah, we should have outsourced that one in retrospect for sure. I mean, we talked about that. We should have put that in Airtasker. But yeah, just getting the windows cleaned, like just, and I went and got the car washed on Sunday morning. I went and did the grocery shopping and got the car washed at the shopping center when I was doing the shopping. And I think just all those things. And I think it comes back to, and I talk about this quote all the time, the Tony Robbins quote, that happiness equals progress. Like if we feel like we're progressing, we feel like we're happier.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for us, that environmental thing is probably that as well. Do you reckon?
Yeah.
And also, I guess, as I think about it, I wonder how much of it's that we both have our own businesses. 2020s. I mean, we've always been, I think, preoccupied with environment. But environment is something that we can control. Like we can actually put our stamp on that. And I think that's why I've been so excited to do this focus on organization over these couple of months, whether it's on the podcast or the program or my GST challenge. Because that's what you realize is like when you can actually create certainty around the things that you can create certainty with, it just creates so much more. I just feel like I can flow with the uncertainty so much more when the finances are sorted, the house is decluttered, the meal plan is done, there's food in the fridge. I know what my week is looking like. You know, it's just that, it's that balance. And you taught me that as well, the balance between certainty and uncertainty.
Yeah, hugely. Well. And goes all the way through, as you say, the discipline, exercise, and you're feeling good, sleep well. Track all this stuff. You're like, I'm sweet. I'm progressing. Particularly in the areas like that, like as you say, you can control, and the areas that counter the stress.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so true. How do you think our approaches are different when it comes to organization?
Well, as I said, like, I feel like you're much better at, I think it's kind of similar to the question before. You're much better at drilling into what's the just necessity.
Yeah, and true.
Getting that stuff done is the priority. Yeah. You're very good at focusing in on that, you know, what's the minimum that needs to be done and just getting that done.
Yeah.
And really good at fucking not doing anything beyond that.
Mm.
Whereas I get caught in tasks and I'll be like, I want to get it done properly, and then I'll walk through as per the windows and it takes fucking 10 hours to do them.
Mm.
Whereas I imagine if you did them, that would be done.
I mean, just splash some water
at
them and run away.
Yeah, splash some water.
Yeah, done, bye.
See through them.
Yeah.
But it'd be done, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think the other area that, like, we're different as it comes to organization is just the priorities that we place on certain things. Like, food is such a high priority for me.
Mm.
Like, it's one of my highest priorities when it comes to organization, because it's, I guess it feeds into multiple priorities. Like, it's health. I just love food. I love thinking about it. I love eating it. I love talking about it, as you know. So I think, yeah, the areas we prioritize are probably quite different. I think you're extremely organized when it comes to your exercise. So you and Josh are on your bikini body plan right now. Which sounds hilarious, but what you're actually doing is the training for Special Forces Commandos. Commandos?
Yeah.
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 For 14 weeks?
7-8 weeks.
17 weeks you're doing this. So that's the bikini body challenge. Challenge.
The bikini body challenge. It's the male version.
But, you know, you've got it stepped out, and you're the thinker when it comes to what you guys are exercising and you're training in. It's in your calendar, and, like, you're highly organized with your exercise.
Yeah. We measure every single thing we do, how we do it, when we do it.
Is Josh using MyFitnessPal as well?
He has used it in the past. He's not using it this
summer. Oh, look at you.
I know. I've got to speak to him about it. It's a bit of a sore point.
MyFitnessPal is a bit of a running joke on my Instagram audience.
Yeah.
Yeah. Drives me fucking crazy.
Yeah, but I don't think I'm as bad as other people, so.
But I think it's easy. Like, tonight we had, it was actually a soup that I bought for us. It's like a fridge chilled soup to bring down to the Southern Highlands, and we didn't have it down there, so we had it for dinner tonight. So that's easy, because you could just take a photo of the barcode. But, like, I cook so intuitively that it's like, oh, I'll just put some of this in, and I have no idea how much coconut cream I put in, or, you know, I just, yeah. And then you ask me, like, 3 days later what was in that meal on Wednesday morning. I'm like, I don't even know what we had for breakfast Wednesday morning. Ah, so hard. And what's it like living with me?
Where to begin?
With an organizational lens,
Okay.
So, okay, I'll just reword that, because I'm actually afraid of what you're going to come out with right now. So what are the advantages and disadvantages of living with Lorraine when it comes to organization? So your advantages first, which I'm sure there'll be way more of them. There will be disadvantages.
Oh, yes,
many,
a very
long
list.
Many, many more.
Yeah. no, it's like you are organized, and so, you know, food's all sorted, and, you know, Lexi's room's sorted, the house is sorted. It's run smoothly in terms of things run smoothly.
You make it sound like I just run the whole household.
No, you don't. But, you know, I think it's just to do with standards.
Yeah, 100%. And I wrote about this in Get Remarkably Organized as well. What the difference between the standards. Like, I cannot deal with the floor drop. Like, all my clothes are put away every night. But I'll have out... That's true. I'll have out, like, my clothes, whatever I'm going to do. Like, if I'm going for a walk first thing in the morning at gym, I'll have those clothes on the floor. But everything else is away every night. Do you know, you disagree?
No, I think I'm more of the clothes than you are.
Oh my God. Are you on crack?
100%.
If we went up to our room now, there's two suitcases or backpacks that you took away at the weekend that are just vomiting their contents all over the floor.
Mm-hmm.
There's not one item of clothing belonging to me.
Yeah, I know. 100%. And then if you open the wardrobes, what would that show?
You Marie Kondo yours, I don't.
Yeah. And so when it comes to packing and going away and stuff, I do mine in like 5 seconds.
But you're also a boy.
Yeah.
Like, you just bring t-shirts, jeans, socks, knickers, you're done.
Mm. It's good to go.
Yeah.
So I think that there's a certain level of standards, which is good, as a household that you bring, right? And so, you know what I mean, that makes me stick to those standards. As you say, things run smoothly. It's good to have timings clear. And you're amazing with food. Like, so that's just such an area I just don't have to deal with, which is just so freaking good. And I think that when we work well together, I think that there's a lot of advantages.
I think the other thing I'd say we do well together, I think we've both got a very similar work ethic.
Yeah.
When it comes to just getting shit done, I think you're way better at relaxing than I am. Like just switching off and just when you do let yourself, you let yourself. Whereas I'll, as you know, like we sit down to watch a movie, I'm up 7 times to get different things that I realize that I need in that moment. But I do think like, for example, we got back, we were in Port Macquarie for 2 nights. We left on Friday lunchtime. Yeah, just after lunchtime. We got back yesterday afternoon at 4 and we did grocery shopping on the way back. We brought Lexi shopping with us on the way back. And then like we both came in and then pretty much from 4 till 7, well, 4:30 till 7, like Lexi was chilling, watching a movie. I was hanging out with her in the kitchen. So we were both like head down, just getting our shit sorted. So yeah, I think we're quite good at like, what am I saying? Keeping in step with each other. Does that make sense? I don't think like it's ever one of us is like, okay, come on, we need to do this. Like, I do think we're both quite motivated, which is, we're quite matched in that sense.
Hugely.
I think that's good. What disadvantages are there to living with me and my organizational approach?
No, I think.
I know it'll be hard to think of one.
Yeah, it's, I'm struggling, but if I come to one, it is that getting up and down 55,000 times.
Yeah, totally get it.
Oh, it so frustrates me. You also, I think that, you know, it's just, it's an anchor for me because you, when you get angry at me, you then go and do everything.
So yeah.
That pisses me off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rather than just saying, I need you to do this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So but that's a real masculine versus feminine energy thing though. Like that's when a woman is so stuck in her masculine that she's just like, okay, it's fine. I'll just do it all myself.
Yeah.
Like that's me and my masculine. That's not a good place to be.
And the only counter I have is to make sure all the jars are sealed as tight as I can.
Yeah, so you get a dada job. Lexi calls them dada jobs.
Yeah.
What was I trying to open the other day?
I was pickles.
Pickles, was it?
Yeah.
And I said, Lexi, what do we do? And she said, dada job.
Yeah.
So cute.
So, yeah.
So I would echo what you're saying. I think just that ability to switch off. And I think that's what I love about when you and I do go away. Like, I do think I find it a lot easier to relax when I'm away from, like, the house and, like, not just chucking in laundry or, you know, I'll just throw together a load of kombucha or checking emails or whatever. You know, it's just, you just don't have that anchor of being at home.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for me, it was something I would love to work on is just that ability to relax more at home. Because when I do go away, whether it's with you or when I do my overnight planning down in Bondi, or, you know, even the three of us, I just find it so much easier to relax when I'm not at home. So I'd love to create more of an association with home as like a sanctuary where I can relax rather than that's the place where things have to happen.
Yeah.
And I think that's challenging as well because, well, now I always work from home. So that's a bit challenging as well. Can we talk about working from home for a minute? Because it's this question that came through a lot from a couple of people actually asked this today when I did a shout out saying I was interviewing you tonight. And so you obviously used to work in your office pretty much full time.
Yep.
And then ISO hit and you guys all pretty much just switched into remote working.
Mm-hmm.
Now you guys are back at the office, but you're doing more. And I think actually quite a few people are doing this. What was Benny saying? Is that the landlord of the owner of your new office space that you just moved into? He was saying that it's, or was he telling me? I can't remember. It used to be like work from home and now it's more work from office where like, people are doing that swap that it's not that it used to be that you'd work from home one day a week and now it's actually more that you go to the office one day a week.
Exactly.
So how did you find that? Because that's your first time ever working from home. No. Yeah, it kind of is because remember you started your first business, you started this business in the basement of our house in Surrey Hills.
Yeah.
So you were working from home, but you had the team there every day.
Yeah.
And you're a raging extrovert.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that worked for you because you're working from home, but you always had the team around you.
Yeah.
So yeah, what? How? Okay, I'm asking you this a very long winded way. How has that? How was that transition to you to getting to working from home?
So for the team and for the business, it was easy. Like,
because you guys are so set up for that.
Yeah, we're so set up for that because we need. Like, it was actually easy because normally when we're working from home, inverted commas, we're working across 5 different time zones.
Yeah.
So this to actually be in the same time zone working from home. Gold, too easy, and all our systems were set up for it, so everything was cloud-based. So that was gold. The challenge was obviously with us and working from home and Lexi handling.
Yeah.
So beyond the Lexi handling, when I say handling, it sounds terrible. Lexi
care. Just kitty logistics. Yeah.
The advantages and how I found that transition was the super advantage is obviously being able to use the mornings. So
yes, yeah.
I switched immediately to, instead of going to the gym, first thing when I got up was to work as soon as I got up. So that 4:45 until, you know, I think it was like 8:30 or 8 o'clock was then able to be utilized for work. And that has actually been a game changer and something that I'm trying to sustain with the move back to the office and going out of COVID. And I'm finding it hard because I've never found as an effective time to get stuff done.
Because you would get so, you'd work for like what? Yeah, 3.5 hours.
3.5 hours, yeah.
And then you'd have your whole gym set up out in the back. So, yeah, I'd be making breakfast and you'd be doing your workout.
Yeah. And then I'd go done and then it'd be Lexi time, or if she wasn't there, back into work for the day and then work out again in the evening at 5. It's just perfect.
Yeah.
So, actually.
Yeah, you did so much. I mean, you did your 100 burpees a day challenge for like, what, 4 weeks or something?
Something than that, yeah.
I feel like, yeah, you got so much work done and so much exercise done as well.
Yeah. So I actually found it super, super good for the period. So yeah, I don't, as you say, like I don't think in terms of our work, I think we have any struggle working from home. The only challenge is that I'm an extrovert and that I found that really hard. And it's also hard to shut off, but I know that's a problem universally. So I think it was better for me to get up early and have that period. And then at least post gym, I could think about other things and kind of calm down. And also I felt the other thing that was very difficult from working from home during this period is, once again, universal, is that I felt like I was working on a lot of stuff that I just would rather not be working on.
Why?
Well, trying to save your business from COVID is not really.
Oh, yeah, obviously. Sorry, but of course, but I just thought you meant like working from home. I thought you just meant you did tasks that were differently.
Yeah.
Tasks were different. I know something I've noticed is, I mean, it's just funny because, like, you're home, because now you're working. I mean, I think you're working from home most days this week. Are you? You going to the office 2 days or something?
No, 3 days this week.
3 days this week. I think something I've noticed was, first of all, my office is totally different because we had to reorient at the office. I don't like it this way, but anyway. But also, I think we work very, very differently. Like, and it's not so much now, but I think particularly in the ISO time, like, you were on the phone all the time.
Yeah.
Like, literally, I remember one morning you got on calls to the US at 6 a.m. and you finished calls at 8:30 that evening. And I just couldn't fathom having a day like that. Like, our working styles are so different because I'm either on, like, fully on where I'm in mentoring mode or, you know, hosting a masterclass or doing a meeting with the team. But other than that, like, it's deep work. It's working on, you know, my new program or writing my email content or, like, it's deep, flowy work. So I think that's been hard for me. Like, I find it very hard to work in the office next to you, like, because we're sitting there now. We've got one long, it's like a, what do you call it? Extendable. It's actually a kitchen table from IKEA, but we pulled it out, so it's longer for you. So both of us can be here. So yeah, I think I struggle with that. Just our working styles are so different. And I think I'm used to the home being my, what am I saying? My stomping ground during the day. Like, if Lexi's at daycare and you're at the office, like, I'm just in my zone. So I find that weird because I'm an introvert.
Yeah. So, yeah.
You know, you're stuck here with an introvert and I'm stuck here with an extrovert, which is just pretty funny.
I just think on saying that about the meetings thing, though, I think it is, once again, contextual. And I think that...
My business doesn't require that level of meeting.
Yeah. And it's like...
And I don't have the amount of stakeholders you have either.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, if the business is bigger, it's just you got to do more meetings. So I try to work this and it's been a struggle, but getting there with Monday and Friday, no meetings, period. And then that 3 hours in the morning is also, you know, trying to secure that.
Yeah.
And so now I'm trying to smash it into Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday during business hours as meetings. And outside of that, so 3 hours in the morning each morning and then the Mondays and Fridays. And I think that that's a good balance because God knows you should not be doing as many meetings as I had to do in some of those periods. So
yeah, but I can't imagine there's any business owner who's been as affected as you guys have that wouldn't be doing that.
Yeah. I mean, there's other people in our boat. Exactly.
Yeah.
But it's like we're at the front line of the challenge.
Yeah. I'm hoping we've given enough specifics to people. I mean, because I would really love to jump onto a couple of those other questions that people had as well. I know they're not strictly about organization, but there's some really good ones and some of them are quite funny as well. So if you're, let's just get down to specifics. What do you think are the three things that we do really well when it comes to being organized together, like as a couple? Do you want me to start?
Yeah, you go.
We can just tick, whatever you say.
I think the timing, the time management and like calendar planning, having that set, meeting on a weekly basis, meeting on a, you know, quarterly basis, and, you know, all the stuff that we spoke about in couple of goals is a key strength.
Yeah. So just to explain what that is to people who may not be familiar. So that's every Sunday night, like once sex is down, we get out our calendars and plan the week ahead.
Yeah.
So I think that's, I mean, incredibly useful because it just gets rid of so many assumptions.
Mm-hmm.
And it also just, it's like, it's quite a negotiation process. Like right now I'm really trying to get back into my exercise in a big way. And it's been like our meeting last night was a bit heated because I felt like every time I wanted to get out of the house to get to a class, you already had something booked in. So that's just going to be us finding our stride and getting into a routine again, mm-hmm. because I've been exercising at home for 6 months. So I think that weekly planning time on a Sunday evening, I think it's really, really helpful. And I also think we've been a lot more intentional about getting away and having time for you and I. I mean, we've done our annual planning for years now.
Yeah.
Like the end of the year, where we plan our goals for the year ahead together, which is where the couple goals program came from. However, I feel like because things shifted so much this year, I think what was really good was me going away at the end of June and doing my own planning myself.
Mm-hmm.
So going to QT and Bono, which is funny because they all spark business ideas. Then that was the goal setting and goal getting workshop that I did a couple of months ago, which was huge.
Yeah.
And then you did the same, which you actually did it the week I was doing the goal setting and goal getting workshop, because I gave you the playbook. You were the first person to get the playbook and you went away and kind of worked through the process yourself. So I think something that we do really well is that individual planning time.
Yeah.
And then coming home and getting the other person across it. I think that's been really, really good. And I know something that's a real bugbear for you, again, just speaking really transparently in this episode, is just getting that 5-year plan in place again, because it's like we've lost sight of it this year. And I know I said to you, we had an argument about it on Saturday, and I said to you, I just feel like I've just been, you know, we've had so many big goals, things just keep shifting. So as you said, it's just about us getting back in the driving seat and, you know, making them happen. And I guess taking my own medicine when it comes to that stuff, for our joint goals, as well as my business goals and my personal goals as well. So yeah, it's a long answer.
Yeah.
Anything else you think of? Like if we were to give people like tangible things that really help.
Well, there's the time stuff. I think the food stuff is obvious. Like it's just basics.
Yeah.
And then.
And I think just on that, because I just like to give people actionable stuff, as you know, when I'm doing anything. I think something that really helps us, just as a really small thing when it comes to getting more organized with food, is we've kind of got a bit of a breakfast rota. Because we like to have like nice solid breakfasts. So like Monday, Tuesday, generally we'll have porridge, like brown rice porridge. I actually just soaked it tonight and it's half brown rice, half oats. So that's Monday, Tuesday. Wednesday then it's Mama Alexa Day. So we always have pancakes on a Wednesday morning. Thursday, Friday, normally I make my baked oatmeal. Although that's getting the thumbs down from my fitness pal right now. So that may be off the agenda. Saturday we have pancakes again, and then Sunday we kind of go a bit off piste, like just go a bit crazy, have eggs or whatever on a Sunday. So just simple things like that, just having a bit of a rhythm. And then having, I mean, the cock up at the weekend is just gold. Even like when we went away for our couple of nights away, just you and I, like I didn't have as much time to cook that weekend, but just even simple things like having a container of cooked brown rice and a container of quinoa. You're just laughing now because I'm getting excited talking about food. You know, just having that kind of stuff, having some sausages cooked, just stuff like that, that you can just kind of throw together as a one bowl meal if you wanted to during the week. I think that really helps as well. And obviously there's my Cook Up Club compendium, which is really good for meal planning as well. Anything else?
Fair play. That's the other thing. Just yes. Allocating tasks, setting standards for those tasks.
Yeah. So just again, just background for people. Fair Play is a book by Eve Rodsky, which you actually got way more into than I did. Like you were the one kind of at me to say, okay, we need to sit down and do this together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's essentially gamifies household responsibilities for couples. So we did that Jan-Feb, and I thought that was amazing. I do feel like we need to revisit it again because I think ISO, everything shifted it again.
Yep.
That's one of the other areas I'd like to get more organized again and just check in. Yeah.
Yeah. But when you think about like the delta in your complaints and whinging,
yeah,
it's gone down massively.
It has. You're right.
So.
But I think also you reading that book as well was just about you getting a bit of an insight into that, the mental load. Like do you remember even when I wrote the chapter on the mental load for the book, Forget Remarkably, or for Baby Remarkable, sorry, my third book, And you proved it and you were like, I don't know what the problem is. Mm. And I just, for whatever reason, whatever, however Eve communicates that. And I know a lot of my communities as couples have gotten into the book as well. It just seems to land for men because they just finally go, oh my God, yes, I get it now. Do you think?
No.
No. Okay. Why?
Because it's not a case of getting it. It's like a case of this is just logical. Like it's, and this whole mental load thing, it's like, it needs to be understood that, that males and females work differently. And so what Eve plays to is how males operate. And so, yes, it's the understanding from the female's perspective, but it doesn't mean the females are right. It just means that they're...
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it does.
I can call Eve right now. We're friends on Insta.
Yeah, I know. And that's another thing. It's the Insta.
Who you also fancy.
Yeah, and I love Eve. And so it's like... And that's the thing, like, it's like men are from Mars, women are from Venus, so it's all their perspectives, right? Like, it's just, I can understand where you're coming from, and I can get it, and I can appreciate it, and then I can act on it. And I think that she creates a bridge between those two forces. Does that make sense? Because, you know what I mean, I, as much as you just can't, you can't be me, and you can't, you know, be in the male brain, in a
Thank
sense.
God.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the, exactly the same way I feel, right? So it doesn't mean either of us are right or wrong. It just is the way that we operate.
Mm.
And I think that that's just where it lands.
Yeah.
And I feel like the mental load thing is like, you know, basically the way it's often pitched is that males are wrong and males are fucking the problem in everything. And it's like, well, no, we're not. We just, we don't operate like that. So just work with us and she's bridged that gap well.
Mm. Okay, cool. Before we leave the topic of organization, is there anything else you would like to touch on?
Organization? No, I don't know.
I was just keen to get to some pointy things, so I just want to make sure we had some actionable things. Okay, yep. Are you ready for some random questions?
Yes.
Okay, Wild Rambles wants to know, at any point have you felt like I overshare with my community?
Yes.
Which bits? Because I do check stuff with you and say, look, you're happy for me to talk about this, and you normally are.
Yeah.
Like, be honest.
Yeah, I think it's like, I mean, I would prefer a world in Instagram didn't exist. For sure. Like, I just don't.
My business would look very different without Instagram.
Yeah. And once
and
again.
It's fun.
Interesting male and female perspective. I just don't. Males don't do Insta. And I know you go, here's 55 different influencers that do it really well. I'm like, yeah, I know some of them. Some of them are my good mates. And they don't do Insta well, in my opinion. They don't do it like you do it. Like Sabri, classic. You know, all these Insta followers and all that. He's. But his Insta is just him sending information, not engaging. And I think that you have such built such an amazing community with your people. Yeah.
They're amazing.
And it's like, and that's what females, it's such a massive advantage in this modern day, in this modern economy. And I remember banging on this about back in 2010 about how females are such an advantage in this economy. And it's because they gel naturally to social media, and social media is the leveler. It's so good. So coming back to you,
I think
I wouldn't feel comfortable. It's not something I feel comfortable with. I'm 100% comfortable talking at a dinner party or any kind of public thing face to face. It just doesn't feel natural for me to talk, you mean, to unknown audience about what's going on.
But do you feel like there's anything in specifically that I have overshared? On social media or in my books even. I mean, I think I actually share most of my books sometimes, I think.
Yeah, I think you share more in your books. And look, I mean, as you said, I've approved everything.
Mm.
Like, not that it needs my approval, but it's just like.
But there was definitely, there was three chapters in Baby Remarkable that I asked you to read because I want to make sure you were comfortable with them.
Yeah. And so, you know, it all works out and it's all good. I just.
Honestly, is it though?
I don't know. I just, it is all good. Like, obviously, otherwise I would, you mean?
Yeah.
Not be all good. But it doesn't make me feel comfortable. And also the other thing is just, I don't know, with Lexi and how she comes through on it so much. And I, you know what I mean? She's going to see that when she's older.
Well, you know, I don't share her half as much as I used to.
Hmm.
Like over the last 6 months, 12 months, just on there a lot less.
Yeah. And it's cool. I just, but this is the, this is where we're at. And so our responsibility is to bring up Lexi and, you mean, and help her, I don't know, to share what she's, you know, I think she should be out there in the world.
Mm.
And also to make her understand that and appreciate that when she's older.
Mm.
And also just to never, I even when I was young, I used to, you know, people would bring up things that I did when I was a kid and they'd be like, oh, you know, you know what I mean?
What, that song that you used to sing that your parents still take the piss out of you for and you just go insane about it? What was the song?
I don't even want to talk about it. But the thing is, it's like, you mean, it's so, that's so, like, just ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, I know you and I talked a lot about the fact that we're very, very glad that we had our late teens and what? When did I get on Facebook? When I was like maybe 20. My sister went to university in Kentucky and came back and everyone was on Facebook over there and she got me on Facebook.
Hmm.
But it wasn't like as sherry. Like we pretty much made it through most of our 20s without having to think about social media.
Mm-hmm.
So I know you and I talk a lot about that. And particularly like being a teenager, you know, not having that. I mean, I got a mobile. I was the first of my friends to get a mobile when I was 16. Like, and then I figured I had to send text messages and, you know, it's just... just not to have had that in our worlds. I just think we're so lucky, our generation.
Yeah.
But like also, not to have that digital footprint of every stupid thing you did when you were drunk. Like, oh my God, if I think about the photos that could have been taken of me.
Yeah.
Because I was crazy. I love that you didn't have the grace to, the generosity to go, oh, where are you, babe?
Yeah.
No. Okay, should we move? Is there anything else you want to say? Because there are quite a few questions.
No, I think that brought up, you know, a lot of stuff.
Yes.
It's like, you know what I mean? Because, and to, I think to what the person's asking.
It was Wild Rambles. I'm not sure of her name.
It's like it does create contention at the end of the day. And it's because it's not easy. Mm. And that's where it's at.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Stacey says, hi, Wade. Would you ever write a leadership book like Lorraine's organization book?
Yeah, if you want me to. Thanks, Stacey, and I appreciate that you would write that. And, yeah, I'd love to. I think that we should write a book and we should make that happen. And I feel like content is...
When you say we, you mean your team.
Well, yeah. Because
your business is in leadership.
Yeah, exactly. But it's like I think we have done something special and I do agree with it. And I think that I've been so focused on just doing... the business that I often don't take the step back and actually write about it or drive the content of it, you know what I mean? And tell the story. And I think that, you know, we've in the recent 6 to 12 months, we've found that when we actually do tell the story and talk about these things that people are massively engaged with it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even the podcast interview you did with me, and that was ages ago about leadership. Like, yeah, people really resonated with that.
Yeah. And I think that, yeah, I think I've got a lot to share and I definitely would love to. No, I thank you for your support, Stacey, and I should consider that for future goals.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. You just so much. Cause I think the blend you have as well of the, army, obviously background, but then, I mean, really what you have done and your team have done is like you teach millennials how to become leaders and you've talked to me about, and I've seen it to a certain extent when I go and speak at your team leader training camps, TLTs. But you say to me, like, a woman, for example, will come in and she's like 90 and you say she's like a mouse and you say the other end, she comes out like a lion, you know, just the journey that you and your team guide people on, I think it's really quite amazing.
Yeah, exactly.
And very, very unusual. And, you know, I've hired past team members of yours and then they get into this awkward tug of war where you want them and I want them. Talking to you, Emma Ridley. And so, yeah, they're just outstanding individuals. You know, whatever kind of washing machine spin cycle you put them through, you just spit out these amazing leaders. So if anyone has university student children or kids, yeah, do check out Project Everest Ventures because, I mean, I know for me, I'm itching for the point that we can just pack Lexi off to Malawi or Fiji or even, you know, doing stuff, some stuff that you guys are going to be doing on the ground in Australia.
Online,
yeah. Sorry.
I think the other thing that's unique about the situation is that also our organization is very, like, different in that the way that people interact with the organization covers all modalities. Like, people pay to be involved. People volunteer. Mm. People are casual. They're part-time. They're on contract. They're full-time.
Mm.
Like, we have this entire system of bizarre, like, it's crazy. I've never seen an organization with the way that the people interact is all through different modalities.
Mm.
And so as a leader, like trying to lead that organization, it's like you're interacting with all different types of stakeholders and engagements. So it's not like you can just rely back on these are full-time staff and I can just tell them what to fucking do. Yeah,
100%. So true. You know, it's so much more fluid than that.
It's so much more fluid and it's completely adaptive, and yet the principles and the traits remain the same.
Yeah. Babe, just because I know people are going to want to know, can you just explain what Project Everest... I'm actually afraid to ask you this question. Can you explain what Project Everest Ventures does? And the reason I'm afraid to ask you this question is that obviously we've been working on the elevator pitch for a while.
Yeah.
And it's a highly complex organization. Yeah. But I do think it's going to be kind of the elephant in the room for anyone who isn't aware. Like, what is it that you guys do?
It just quickly, it brings together two unique, distinct parties. So firstly, technology partners. So people who are startups, companies or non-for-profits or university researchers who have technology that could be applied to the developing world or a social problem and could be, you know, have an exceptional social impact. So these people have the problem of they can't, you know, to be able to leverage multiple markets in developing countries or to go into developing countries or to go anywhere outside their normal realm is very difficult from a risk management perspective. It's hard to get leverage. It's hard to know contacts. It's hard to make it all happen. So they have that problem. And then on the other hand, we have university students. So students going through the university degrees who, you know, want to achieve social impact. They want to have experience that's real world. They want to develop their professional skills. They want to learn about startup space and they want to be able to implement this and get a full holistic understanding of what it means to do social enterprise on the ground and work towards sustainable development goals. So we take these two parties and we offset them, in a sense, like a platform, but in a community kind of based platform where students will go overseas with this into a range of countries. They work very decentralized and autonomous, and they work to implement these technologies in developing countries and get feedback and work through lean startup methodologies to create these social enterprises. We're building out to have 25 to 30 projects around the world, of which a lot of them will fail because obviously the failure rate's high. But
because it's essentially starting several new businesses a year, isn't it?
Yeah, from scratch. And in environments involve inherently a lot of friction, uncertainty, difficulty. And then out of that, we want to seek to create a couple or a few social enterprises that knock it out of the park.
Mm-hmm. Gold. So can you give an example of like what would one of those businesses be?
It's very simple ones to understand, like solar, for instance. So simple solar products that enable a country like Malawi, which is 90%, they don't have access to electricity. So they can light their homes, they can charge their phones. That means they can study. That reduces their expenses significantly. Game changing. It's huge. So that's a very simple product and a simple example, right through to very complex technology, which is like, for instance, seed technology. So seed genetics, where you can analyze seeds and tell the complete genetic makeup of it so that you can see where it should grow, how much water it should be given, you know, what kind of conditions it should be in, whether it's been trademarked globally, and then trying to patch the seed all the way to the food through a blockchain technology. So it's just fucking...
Wow.
Yeah. And then AI about, you know, drones and stuff like that is hectic.
Yeah. So obviously your business has been massively affected with COVID because you haven't been able to send in overseas since December, January. And obviously because you've got university students, you can only send them over twice a year. So December, January, June, July.
Yeah.
So it meant that all your trips were cancelled for June, July, and you've just been through a process then of moving everyone from December, January into next year. So I actually think I want to get you back to talk about what you've done to keep the business going. But could you just give us like a very top line? Because it was one of the questions that came through in the audience.
Yeah, there's been three massive strategic moves. And firstly, 70 to 80% of our lead generation was destroyed because...
Yes, of course.
It was all face-to-face, done through university channels, strategic partners they are. So we had to... switch.
So that meant because university students closed down and went to remote learning, you guys couldn't actually go in person to the lectures, which is what you used to do.
Exactly. Yeah. Lectures, events, or other things on campus, you know, that was our prime area of recruitment. So we had to switch the 20 to 30% to be the 100%, and we managed to do that to go completely online. And that was the first big strategic move. Then we had to create a solution where we could achieve the same effect for our that we could achieve the social impact and what we want to do in terms of programming and providing the opportunities for students, but do it online. We did that in 7 weeks and we then recruited in our lowest period of the year. We got 9 students on board, and they basically rated at the same level as what our overseas experience was.
Wow. And that was amazing.
And then, and then since then, we've got about 167 people on for future virtual staff. To give you context, our $850 million partner in the US put out a similar virtual thing, but not similar to us, but their own virtual solution, and they got 35 people. We are now sitting in a space where I think that we're the dominant player in the virtual space in Australia.
Wow. So if anyone's listening, like who should be getting in touch with Product, I'm going to give you your plug. Who should be thinking about Project Everest Ventures? Because I know most of my audience is like age between 25 to 50. So there are going to be people at university age kids.
Yeah.
Like who should be talking to you guys?
Yeah, university students. So you know, we're predominantly from engineering and business, but we look at students from all different backgrounds and degrees at universities. So, you know, people that have that social impact, they want to do stuff. They want to understand more about startups. They want to understand more about leadership, all that kind of stuff. And they can link it in with their degrees in most universities in Australia.
And that's what I love about you guys. It's almost like that trifecta of leadership, tick, entrepreneurship, tick, but also social impact, because this generation coming up behind us, slightly older millennials, is, you know, they're obsessed with impact. They're obsessed with social problems and how they're going to solve them. I think it's an incredible part of this next generation coming up behind us, and hopefully that will just continue to grow with future generations. So yeah, I almost see it like, you know, the Venn diagram of the three overlapping circles, and then you guys are that sweet spot in the middle. But I think also, like, particularly just seeing how you guys have pulled together during everything you've been through this year with your business, you know, it's cult-like. That's the only way I can describe the culture. So, and you Lexi and I, you and I were talking about when we went, when we were away together last week, and we were talking about like, would we want Lexi to be an employee? And we were saying, well, if it was to work at somewhere like Project Everest Ventures or at my business when I had more of a kind of a permanent full-time team, yeah, for sure. You know, to go work for someone who, it just must be the most amazing feeling as a parent to know that your kids are respected and looked after by the people that are either teaching them or employing them as well. So yeah, I think that's really, really special.
I think the only other thing is just other people, is those people who have startups, who have ideas. Like one of our tech partners is an ophthalmologist, for example. This is, you know, and she has designed a way in which she can do flat pack glasses in a full kit to be able to teach anyone in 45 minutes to provide refractive eyewear, you know, to solve issues with eyesight.
Wow.
And it's like she can't execute because she's an ophthalmologist, you know, and my... She
just doesn't have the experience, the knowledge, the skills, the toolkit.
All this impact could be done in developing countries. She's partnered with us and she's just absolutely, you know, our biggest fan. And another classic one we just brought on last week, very similar, he's in a high school principal. I think he's assistant principal at a high school, and he's got this epic idea, and he's actually got the MVP. You know, he's got a certain amount of FAR, but he can't
MVP is minimal viable product for any of the non-entrepreneurs listening.
But he can't go the next step. And so we've been able to work with him, and, you know, he's just absolutely loving us. And so, you know, there's those people that you might have. And we also have tech partners that have their own companies and, you know, $25 million businesses and all that kind of stuff. But then we have ones that are, you know what I mean, they can see a vision, they can't get there. And
And you guys are the bridge that gap almost.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's really cool. Michelle Broadbent, you might recognize that name, wants to know, what's the first thing you're going to build with your new toolkit from Lexi for Father's Day? Which is a little cardboard toolkit that is completely impractical, but she was so excited. She came home with that on Tuesday night from daycare, and you were just coming in from work, and we had to hide it very quickly. So she hid it over there in the corner behind the sofa. Aww. So yeah, high excitement about Dada's box. What are you going to build with your toolkit, Wade?
I don't know. I think I might get a whole bunch of skateboard tools and then we can take it with us when we go skateboarding.
That's probably the only thing you would actually be handy with is your fecking skateboard.
Yeah.
BT wants to know, does Wade have a single brother or cousin? And the little thinking face emoji.
What is that implying, BT?
BT. So, do you, Wade?
Thank you, BT.
It's Rebecca Thompson, just saying.
If I think what you're implying is what you're implying, that means a lot, and I really appreciate it.
And can I have your number?
And I'll have your number.
Which is what you said when I shared the question with you before we got on. So yeah, just to explain, you are an only child.
And my,
you have one. Well, you've got a lot of cousins. They're all coupled up, aren't they, Victoria?
Yeah, but they're also just completely different from me.
Yeah, they are.
I'm the black sheep of the family.
You are. Yay. And all your mates are taken too right now, aren't they, Jiminy?
No, you've got
a couple.
Yeah, I've got a few single mates. Yeah. Hawley is definitely GTG.
Yeah.
Andrew's GTG.
He is.
You'd
be very offended if you thought we'd forgotten about him in this context.
He'd be very devastated. but he's very into his Bible studies, so I don't know if he'd be about that.
You're being sarcastic now. Okay. All right, babe, we should wrap this up. Is there anything else you would like to share?
Any quick questions or not?
No, they were the key ones. People do want to know more about the business stuff, but as I said, I think I'll get you back to talk about that.
Cool.
Because it's quite detailed. Lots of questions about organization, which I think we actually ticked off.
Awesome.
Anything else you'd like to share?
No, thank you so much. Thank you for the audience, your community.
They love you. So it's hilarious.
I don't know why.
I honestly don't know either. It's hilarious. No. Yeah. Honestly. I think because you're such a reluctant Instagram story.
Yes.
Personality.
Very reluctant.
You're Instagram. A reluctant influencer.
No, we really appreciate all the support. And it means a lot. And thank you. And so thank you for having me on. And thank you for being so organized and making it all happen. And I really appreciate the support. It means a lot. And so it does with Project Everest.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And thanks for doing this with me tonight. I know you've got a shitload of work on this week. So thank you for making this happen.
It's all good. I appreciate it.
And I fed you half a banjo carob chocolate bear.
Here's the bribery that got me here.
That was it. I just have to break it to Lexi that we ate her chocolate bear tomorrow morning. But I might leave that to you to do that one. Okay. Thank you so much.
No, thank you. Appreciate it.
There you have it. I think that's his fourth appearance on the Lorraine Murphy Show. Thank you so much for joining our conversation. If you'd like to find out more about Wade's business, Project Everest Ventures, you can visit projecteverest.ventures, and I'll also pop a link in the show notes as well. And reminder that this is most definitely the absolute last call for my Get Remarkably Organized program. Doors are closing at midnight this Sunday, 13th of September. I won't be running this one again until mid-2021. So this is our window of opportunity to help you shift from chaos to calm together. You can sign up at my website, lorrainemurphy.com.au, and I will also pop a link in the show notes as well. So this time I am definitely taking a 2-week break from the podcast, and while I'm off, I will be workshopping themes for the next few seasons. So if you've got any special requests, please do drop me an email through my website or a DM on Instagram or Facebook. I would love to get all your suggestions as I cook up the next chapter of the podcast. So thank you so much again for joining me. It's always a joy to have you listening. Thank you for being part of this week's episode. It was remarkable to have you. I am always keen to hear your thoughts, questions, ideas, and suggestions for future topics for the podcast. So please get in touch on Instagram. My handle is @LorraineRemarks, and through my website, lorrainemurphy.com.au. If you're enjoying what I'm putting out here, please do rate, review, or subscribe to the podcast so more people can find out about it and we can build this special community. Or even better, do all three. Chat to you next week.